And welcome once again to Capitol Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. On this week's program, we have your Capitol Watch All-Stars from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association, President and CEO, Rebecca Euler. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here again, David. Thank you.
Also have my main man, Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation. Steve, thanks for being on the show.
David, it is a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's outstanding to be together. And this week we have new news to discuss that our good friends at the Lincoln Institute for Public Opinion Research have produced their fall 2025 Keystone Business Climate Survey. And so we're going to roll up our sleeves and put our hands in the entrails and see what we can figure out, what we can derive from the survey's findings. And I guess to start off, I would just note, so this is a survey of employers from across the Commonwealth. These are C-suite executives or owners, to ask them, you know, what they think about how the Commonwealth is doing with its economy. And this is something that the Institute has done for decades. So there's survey data that you can follow back into the past, all the way back to the 90s. But one of the questions that's always asked is, what is the top challenge for your enterprise? And this time around, number one was current economic conditions. Number two was inflation / rising costs. Number three, keeping employees. And number four, finding employees. And so actually, if you put those two employee-related questions together, that becomes the top concern for employers.
Exactly. Two sides of the same coin with those results.
And certainly, this is something in the manufacturing community that we've heard, you know, for a long time that our employers cannot find enough qualified new hires, even to fully staff up at current levels of production, much less to find the extra workers, the new workers to populate a third shift in order for that business to be able to take on new work and bid for new contracts and such. So that continues to be a very grave concern for the employer community.
I can tell you this is a grave concern in the trucking industry for sure. There's a shortage of about 60,000 truck drivers across the country. And in Pennsylvania, we have a critical shortage of diesel techs too, because as everyone knows, this is a huge trucking state. This is the Keystone State. We are literally the link between the Northeast and the rest of the nation here. So we have a lot of trucks in Pennsylvania. Diesel techs and drivers are very difficult to find. So that is definitely true of our industry.
And that workforce crisis winds up being a cap on economic growth, mm-hmm. because if you don't have the personnel to run your enterprise, you're limited at the level and scope that you can, the amount of business that you can do. Like if you don't have a trucker, the truck doesn't move.
Sure, absolutely. So those trucks are not moving to manufacturers. They're not moving the raw materials and the finished products from
to or from a factory.
To or from the factories to the finished goods to the stores. So everything sort of slows down. That's exactly right. And costs go up as well.
Steve, what were your headline takeaways from the survey?
Well, aside from the two big issues you identified, David, about employees, finding them and keeping them.
Yeah.
And the economic conditions and inflation, which are very tightly related to each other.
Yeah.
One that really struck me that stands out is government regulations. We hear that quite frequently. We know that we often hear folks in the public policy arena saying that Pennsylvania is overregulated as a state, that our regulations here are more severe than necessary and have come to the point of actually driving businesses out of Pennsylvania because of this relatively hostile regulatory environment we have for our business people.
Right.
And it's one of those issues that for many folks, it probably doesn't hit home really. They don't know why things are bad sometimes. They just know things are bad because they aren't privy to the actual on-the-ground data. These are survey results coming from the people who work in this every day. They're watching their bottom line every day, all day, and they know exactly what's happening. And that government regulations pops up like that amongst this sort of an audience is important. It tells us that it's critical to maintain the pressure on our state government to reduce unnecessary regulations.
Yeah, and the key, Steve, you said there is unnecessary, and that this is my standard speech. No one is saying that there shouldn't be rules. Of course, there need to be rules, but those rules should make sense. They should be based on sound science, and that there should be some kind of ongoing review of the rules that we have on the books to make sure that they make sense, that they're cost effective, to examine whether, well, did the regulatory process yield the result that we wanted? Did it solve a problem so that that is no longer needed? Did it do something different than what was expected? Those kinds of questions never get asked, and nobody ever goes back to take things off the books. So it's like painting the same door over and over without stripping off the previous coats.
Yeah, on my drive to work, there's a section of a state highway that has recently gone through some construction and renovations of an old bridge. And the old bridge had a sign beside it that said, narrow bridge.
Yes.
And this crew went in there and they did all this work. And ultimately, what they ended up with was a bridge that you can hardly even notice anymore. It's as wide as the road and the berms the whole way through. And there was that sign still up on the post near the bridge, said narrow bridge. And I thought to myself, are they going to come take this away? Do I have to do it myself? But thankfully, one day I drove by and it was gone. So our kudos to the PennDOT workers who did remove the sign in a timely manner. But that's the kind of attitude. It's like, do we still have signs posted around the state that are confusing people, making it harder for people to do things efficiently and aren't yielding any benefit?
That's a great metaphor. And this actually goes to one of the points that the governor raises about the speed with which the administration is approving permits. And if the permits aren't sitting as long as they used to, that's great. But actually the larger question is, why do our people have to fill out so many permit requests to start with? Like, is all of that really necessary? And insofar as in another jurisdiction, in a competitor state, if the system is more sensible and that they've streamlined it and that paperwork burden is less, that's another reason to do business there instead of here. That hurts us. Rebecca, what else did you take away from the survey?
Well, one thing that I thought was particularly interesting was the question about, in the last 6 months, have you considered moving part or all of your business operation out of Pennsylvania? And so the answers basically were, have you considered moving all your operations? Have you considered moving part of your operations, or have not considered moving your operations? And if you add up the responses to moving all or moving some, it's virtually equivalent to not moving any operations. So if you add up those two, moving all or moving some, considering doing one of those two things, it was about 42% compared to 41% who did not consider moving.
Right.
So we have more people that have considered in some part moving out of Pennsylvania.
That they've got it on their minds. Even if they haven't done it yet, the very fact that they're considering it is a sign of dissatisfaction.
Yes. Yes, and that is problematic for our state, obviously. And I think that touches on all the things we've talked about already, is the state of the business climate in Pennsylvania, the regulatory climate, the tax climate, which we haven't talked too much about yet.
Yeah.
But that obviously plays into it as well. So there are a lot of things in Pennsylvania that are not friendly for business. And unfortunately, that is playing out in some of these survey
and
responses.
It just needs to be said over and over that talent and capital are more mobile than they have ever been. And that I think Harrisburg has a mindset where, so long as we are slightly less bad than New York and New Jersey, that makes it okay. And like, that world doesn't exist anymore to the extent that it ever did. And that if we want Pennsylvania to thrive, we need to benchmark Pennsylvania's performance against the high performing states. And even there are even nearby states like Indiana and Ohio and North Carolina, South Carolina, that are not that far away, yet their states are growing at a much more robust rate than ours.
And they continue to focus their attention on these issues so that the battle is ongoing. They recognize that this isn't something you do once and then 30 years later come and revisit it.
Yes.
These are states that are conscious of the fact that they're in an economic race with the other states and sometimes other countries to be the supplier of choice or the provider of choice of whatever their product is. So that's the other key. This is, you can't let up. There's competition. And we can pretend this is not a problem, but it is a problem, and it comes back to bite us. And we feel it. And our industries feel it. Our truckers feel it. The folks answering this survey feel it.
Yeah. And the way that I think is best to look at it is it's a problem of underperformance. yes, Pennsylvania is still part of America. Yes, we still put one foot in front of the other. But when you benchmark us against the rest of the country, like our gross state product only ever grows at some fraction of the national average. Like on average, the U.S. economy grows faster than Pennsylvania's does. And even if we were, like, how sad is it that we aspire to mediocrity? Even if we were just able to meet the national average, we'd be ahead of where we are now. So just because Pennsylvania is making some progress, it doesn't mean that we're making net progress. It doesn't mean that we're keeping up, because just as Steve said, that it's a process of continuous improvement, and that's what individual businesses have to do, to always be surveying the market, assessing the functions of your company, figuring out how you do things smarter, better, cheaper, faster. And yet, because government is government and it doesn't respond to market forces, and it's not supposed to. So it's like you can't run government as a business, because it doesn't have the same incentives, but you could apply business practices and business management to governmental operations to make them work better. To some degree, I would say it really is that government is something of a blunt instrument, and that recognizing that it's inherently inefficient and wasteful, that you'd only want as much government as you absolutely had to have, and that when we as a society expect our government to do more and more, the more burdens we, more responsibilities we put on government, the less well it does anything.
And if we look at the section on the survey that's looked into the important issue of should Pennsylvania tap into the rainy day fund to spend $3 to $5 billion more than projected revenue, or should spending be aligned with revenue projections, we see another very deep, strong response, and that is align revenue with spending, align spending with revenue.
Yeah, more than half.
More than half, well over 50%. And there's a few that say tap into the rainy day fund, but I think if they understood what that was, they might change their mind. There could be some questions there, but that's important. We're seeing in the current state budget battle, this issue arrives again and again, and there was in some of the proposals a built-in budget deficit. And so in those cases, we would have faced this scenario. We would have to tap into the rainy day fund. There's a lot of harm that would come from that. It's only there for emergencies,
right,
or major economic disasters, essentially. And so this would be a questionable reason to tap the rainy day fund. But fortunately, we can see that these business owners and leaders are on the right side of this. They understand that we need to align our spending with the revenue.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me, Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association and Steve Bloom from the Commonwealth Foundation. And Steve, I would argue that the current state budget standoff, where we're here so many months after the constitutional deadline and the state budget's not done yet, but I'd rather have it done right than have a bad budget by the deadline. And that what the governor has proposed, Governor Shapiro has proposed spending billions of dollars that Pennsylvania literally does not have. I mean, doesn't have in the sense of it's well beyond our revenue collections year over year. There are still some Biden bucks off the printing press that came up from Washington. Those aren't coming back. That was a one-time thing. And then beyond that, of course, as you mentioned, Steve, that the rainy day fund is supposed to be a reserve fund for emergencies. And that if the state Senate would wave through the various budgets that have been passed by the state House in along the lines of what the governor has requested, we'd burn through all the remaining surplus. We'd start spending out of the rainy day fund, and we'd be porking up the spending baseline. And of course, everybody expects as much or more next year as they got this year. And so in 2 years' time, we would be facing a serious budget shortfall, and that the taxpayers would be, there's no choice, they'd be facing a tax increase.
In terms of scale, it's equivalent to thrusting a $1,600 a year burden of new taxes on Pennsylvania families.
In a better world, budget policy and tax policy would be separate, and you'd establish tax policy to optimize growth, And then with a broadly growing economy, you take the revenues from that, and then you'd make spending decisions in your budget. Instead, in Pennsylvania, that Harrisburg always goes and like decides how much they want to spend and then goes about trying to cobble together that much money. And we always do it that way. And this, I would argue that this is part of our problem with the chronic economic underperformance, because when Harrisburg spends money faster than people can earn it, it suffocates growth. And that whereas other states have more responsible spending and that they, you know, have worked to shift their economy into that virtuous cycle where because they've optimized conditions for growth, the investment is coming, the jobs are coming, the people then come, and that creates the tax revenue to pay for the government that they need. But we've got it backwards, and it's going to take really, really powerful leadership to turn that around, sad to say. The budget question was very interesting. It was also interesting, and this is one of the things that the survey asked. And by the way, all these results are available online at lincolninstitute.org. So be sure to go there and check this out so you can see these numbers for yourself and investigate in further depth. But talking about asking these employers and business decision makers about business conditions in the Commonwealth. And when the survey asked them, how have things gone over the last 6 months, that you asked them, are they better, are they same, are they worse? So you had only 17% say they were better. You had 41% say they were the same. And you had 35% say that they were worse. So, and sadly, with the survey, that the employers have said that things are not good. So the fact that they're the same, that's actually a little bit more urgent, a little more upsetting than you might think by just looking at it. But then these same business people were asked, how do you expect business conditions to be in 6 months? And the better, same, or worse, 25% thought they would be better. 31% thought they would be the same. 35% said that they thought they would be worse. Like, that's not terribly enthusiastic. And so, again, I would say that's a danger sign as to where things stand and where people think that they're going.
These questions about are conditions the same or worse than they were 6 months ago, the folks who are saying same, that's not necessarily a good answer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, so exactly.
They may be already extremely frustrated at wit's end with their ability to succeed in Pennsylvania. And so answering the same is a frustration.
Yeah, yes.
For others that are coming to figure that out, they're saying worse. And then there's a small group, and I'm glad they're out there, that say better.
Yeah. And we would want, if we had things moving in a positive direction, that you would have a substantial chunk of respondents saying that, yes, things are getting better, a smaller one saying that they're the same, and then the least would be that things got worse. But unfortunately, that's not what this most recent survey showed. And well, going back to that initial topic that we raised about what are the top challenges facing our employers here in the Commonwealth, one of the top ranked concerns was inflation / rising costs. And so the survey asked regarding inflation, like what effect is this having on your business? And 37% of respondents said it was having a significant negative effect on their businesses. 44% said it was having a moderate negative effect. Only 12% said that it was having no effect at all. So, of course, the massive increases in inflation from the Biden administration with the really historical overspending, radically increasing the money supply, and unleashed inflation on the economy, and that even though inflation is not rising nearly so fast as it had been before, certainly nothing's gotten less expensive. And so the higher costs of all of those business inputs is still being felt. And actually, when you put those numbers together of is inflation having a negative effect on your business, that's 81% of the respondents who said that, yes, that inflation is having a negative effect. And getting back to the state budget, this is a good reason why we shouldn't spend more. We should throttle back on spending. We should right-size the state budget. We should align expenditures with revenues, not the other way around. Again, sadly, this is not the conversation that we're having, but you know, as we said before, at least some of our allies in the legislature are trying to hold the line. And, like I said before, I'd rather have a good budget than a timely budget. And if we can have a budget that doesn't spend billions of dollars that won't be around next year, that would be a better outcome.
And there's still time to fix it now.
Yes.
Or at least not cause a crisis now.
Yes.
Because there are financial reserves. There is the rainy day fund. And that's critical to the way credit agencies around the world that are looking for opportunities to lend to large institutions like states. That's what drives the rates that we get in order to be able to do things relatively cheaply, that we have a sound fiscal house, that our rainy day fund is to the right magnitude that it's supposed to be, that the reserves are there as necessary, and that the budget isn't asking to do too much. You can only do what you can pay for. If you don't, you're still going to pay for it. It's going to come more suddenly and more bluntly than it otherwise would, because you're going to get hit with that big tax increase that you and your family didn't expect.
Yeah. Let's not do that.
Let's not.
So, yes, Rebecca.
Well, we're talking about inflation. So one of the impacts of this higher spending that businesses are forced to deal with because of the impact of inflation, and like you said, 81%, I can't think of businesses right now that aren't dealing with the impacts of inflation. I mean, it's essentially everybody, right?
Right.
But one effect of that is having less money to spend on your business, to invest in your business and hire folks in your business, to actually invest in your business.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating for a lot of business owners. And one of the things that also impacts that is interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
So the survey also talked about interest rates and the impact of interest rates and our high interest rates right now on investment, you know, in the business. So the question was, are the current levels of interest rates impacting your ability to acquire, afford financing needed for ongoing operations or expansion, essentially? So 67% said that interest rates are having a significant or moderate impact on their expansion or plans or ongoing operations, which
right.
is a lot. So we have this cascading impact of impacts on businesses that are preventing investment in the business and preventing hiring, preventing expansion. And that is really part of what I think is driving that pessimism that we talked about a few minutes ago in business in the state, because we have the inflation, we have our interest rates, which aren't coming down enough to drive investment. And it's just this, we're stuck, we're stuck in this.
Of course, the Federal Reserve, sets the interest rates, and I believe that they've got a meeting upcoming, so we'll find out what they choose to do then, and that the employers who were surveyed are still feeling the effect of higher costs resulting from the inflation of recent times. The inflation rate itself is actually much less than it had been. I mean that you don't feel that as much because you've got those higher prices already locked in. But part of the way that the Fed is supposed to respond to the decreases in inflation is to let up on the tight money policy and to allow interest rates to go lower. So that's something certainly that President Trump has been hammering on that he wants to see. I guess we'll all find out whether the Fed follows that in their upcoming meeting.
Well, the survey did ask the opinion of various policymakers, and one of them was Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. And the if you don't include the folks who don't have an opinion,
right.
you might not know who he is.
Yeah.
There was most people do have a negative opinion of Mr. Powell, so that might be part of what is going into
that. They're paying attention, basically.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Well, another important question that was asked on the survey is there's been a lot of discussion on the ability of suppliers to the PJM power grid to provide for Pennsylvania's growing energy needs. Do you have confidence in the energy sector to continue meeting the demand for electricity?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, again, I think sort of intriguing. There's a substantial chunk that says they're not confident in the future of the grid. there's a significant group, it's just under 50%, that says they're somewhat confident, and then there's another 20% or so who are very confident. So this one is our folks that were polled for the purposes of this research don't really seem to be too concerned about warnings about the electric grid. And I wonder if they are paying attention, because I feel there's some things that they ought to be worrying about.
Well, and yes, I had a very wise elderly professor who told me, be concerned, but don't worry. I think that's the position that we're in right now when it comes to energy production, where yes, absolutely, we need to ramp up production, especially if we're going to pull down and make real this promised investment in these AI data centers. This, you know, what was it, $90 billion worth of investment from the summit that Senator McCormick had at Carnegie Mellon. I guess that employers have a can-do spirit.
I think so. I mean, because there are a lot of warnings, and they're not coming. You know, they're not coming from small voices. They're warnings coming from the agencies themselves,
uh-huh.
the industry, that there will be brownouts and blackouts in Pennsylvania if we don't get our act together.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And we're getting closer and closer to that brink.
Yeah.
We're not there yet, but it's interesting to me that in this particular case, the business community is quite optimistic that it's going to be okay.
I guess they have that same attitude as Winston Churchill, that the Americans always do the right thing after they've tried every other option.
Yes.
Goodness. Well, we're running out of time here, but what a treasure trove of interesting data. And again, all of this is from our friends at the Lincoln Institute for Public Opinion Research, and that the listeners can see for themselves at lincolninstitute.org. So anyway, this is the end of our time here. Steve, where can people go to find out more about you and your group and the things that you're doing?
They can visit commonwealthfoundation.org.
Excellent. And Rebecca, where can people learn more about the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association?
They can find out about us at pmta.org.
Excellent. And as ever, you can find me online at pamanufacturers.org. And from Steve and Rebecca and me, thanks to all of you for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.